comics,
movies,
music,
video games,
technology,
Blu-ray,
television.
This is the HHW LOD Podcast Network.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player. This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we go over the results for the third annual Summer Movie Gamble.
Who will win? Who will win? Will it be you?
I may have to shake it off like Taylor Swift.
Wait a minute, I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe! Good evening! Good evening.
Out Now is a film podcast. Abe and I discussing new movies weekly, however, every now and then we... You know what? Why do this whole thing? This is a bonus episode. This is our result show. This is our special bonus third annual Summer Gamble results episode. At the beginning of the summer, we recorded our Summer Gamble, which is, of course, where myself and Abe and many of the regulars on Out Now predicted what they thought the top 10 films of the summer domestic box office wise would be. We recorded those bets there, and this is the week where we go over the results now that the summer movie season has ended. So joining us, we have an all-star cast for this podcast. From Fast Film Reviews, Dragon Trainer Mark Hoban.
Hi, everyone.
From TheYoungFolks.com, Mega Monster Scientist Jose Cordova.
What's up, guys?
From Cinemaxwell, Taking His Margaritas Blended, it's Maxwell Haddad.
Hey-o!
And possibly joining us later, we have from a small town in Northern California, growing his own field of Groots, Jordan Grout. And joining us later, also eating bowls of Coba Krispies, it's Alan Aguilera. I couldn't not read those intros. I spent time making those.
Coba Krispies are amazing.
That might be one of your best.
The Jordan Grout Groot thing was also really good.
Pretty focused show here. We're not going to have many other segments. We will get to feedback later on, but for the time being, we're going to just go over what happened this summer. It was a summer. It was a very not as predictable, I guess, as we might have thought it was, because we are all over the map this year on the Summer Gamble. Obviously, Guardians broke out big. Certain movies didn't do nearly as well as any of us expected. And, so we have a pretty big mix of hodgepodge results here. And, with that said, I'll go over the top 10 films of the summer. And then after that, we'll go from bottom up as to how many points everyone got. And, after I kind of go over each person's total, that person will go over their top three favorite movie moments from the summer, which should be fun. Just a nice way to wrap it up. I think in the past we've done like kind of top three films or whatever, but you know, try to diversify things this year around for the third annual Summer Gamble. So here's the top 10. Here's the top 10 for the summer, which I ended the count on Labor Day on September 1st. So in 10th place, we had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In 9th place, we had How to Train Your Dragon 2. 8th place, 22 Jump Street. 7th place, Godzilla. 6th place, the Amazing Spider-Man Part 2. 5th place, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Number 4, X-Men Days of Future Past. Number 3, Maleficent. Number 2, Transformers Age of Extinction. And number 1, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Woot woot. Okay. Or should I say Groot Groot?
Exactly, that's what you should have said.
Sorry, fans.
Alright, so I'll read out the points system real quick just to get you guys like understanding how this kind of worked. If you want to, you know, do this at home or whatever, you can. But essentially, there's a website I can link to in the show notes for this episode where we of course picked our top 10 films. We picked three dark horses, and the grading rubric works this way. Getting numbers 1 or 10 dead on, so if you got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or Guardians of the Galaxy, if you predicted those to be in 10th place and first place, you'd get 13 points for each different movie. For 2 through 9, if you got any of those dead on, if your pick lined up exactly with how the ranking went for spots 2 through 9, you'd get 10 points. If your pick in the list was one spot away from where it ended up, you get 7 points. If it was two spots away, 3 points. If your pick was anywhere in the top 10, you'd get 3 points. And if any of your dark horses made it into the top 10, you'd get 1 point. So yeah, that's how the grading rubric works. And again, there's a link to how this whole thing works on the line. So I'll put that in the show notes for, you know, if anyone that wants to play again next year or whatever, just to have an idea, or if they just want to check our math.
You could just send it in to us and we'd read your top 10 on the
If anyone list. Had any top 10s, they predict. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we asked that the first time, you know, when we did the initial recording, but, you know, be happy to see some results, I guess.
Exactly. And the podcast at gmail.com.
I quadruple checked all the results here. Abe checked it as well. Whenever I mention Abe and math, though, I'm reminded of my favorite Cards Against Humanity card, Agents Who Can't Do Math Well. but out of the way.
Which is obviously inherently false.
Okay, so who came in last place? Last place, he's not even here. It's Alan Aguilera.
Yeah.
Alan Aguilera came in. Yeah, he came in last place with 41 points. So, yeah, here's Alan's top 10. He had Tammy, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, 22 Jump Street, X-Men Days of Future Past, Maleficent, Godzilla, Guardians of the Galaxy, Spider-Man 2, How to Train Your Dragon 2, and then Transformers. His Dark Horse's Million Ways to Die in the West, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Edge of Tomorrow. He wound up a total of 41 points, and he was in last place. He's not here, of course, at this time. He might join us later, so we'll maybe be able to find out his top three movie moments after that. Let's move into our next one, though.
Are we gonna add some deductions?
I mean, okay. So Alan was you really want to rub it into his face, don't you? Alan was technically late with his picks. He was a week late. With that said, yeah, you're right, Abe. Hold on, let me. Alan was technically a week late with his picks, which means that he got a 5 point deduction, so he'd still be dead last, just more so to separate himself from the next person. Which is Abe.
Woo!
Abe with 44 points.
Because I'm not last.
Yeah, you made it out of the doldrums this year. Way to go. You want to read your picks?
Yeah, absolutely. So my number 10 pick was A Million Ways to Down the West.
No.
Or I'm sorry, Blended. Then A Million Ways to Down the West, 22 Jump Street, Guardians of the Galaxy, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Godzilla, How to Train Your Dragon 2, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, X-Men Days of Future Past, and Transformers. And I must say that I was shocked by two of those, but you guys were not. So clearly I'm in the wrong. And I'm talking about Blended and A Million Ways to Down the West there. I'm
Westerns
glad that
don't make money. No one wants to see Westerns.
No one really does want to see Westerns. My top three favorite moments of the year. Number one, when in Guardians of the Galaxy they crash land and then Gamora looks over to Star-Lord and says, "We're just like Kevin Bacon." And the next one was when Lucy becomes 100% complete, and she spits out this like 3 terabyte USB drive.
I'm glad there's a Lucy pick. That makes me happy. I considered that.
And my number one, it's not even like a favorite moment. It's just more of like, holy crap! It's just like how blown away I was with Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, just overall.
Yeah, just overall. I was like, oh my god! Like I was making fun of this when we were talking about the trailers, and like this is the lamest song with this trailer, and then we came to the review and I was like, this is the best summer movie. This is exactly what a summer movie should be like. So good on you guys. I hope that they make more money when their DVD release is called Live, Die, Repeat.
You had one dead on. You had 22 Jump Street. That matched up.
Yeah. But that would probably save me from being last.
When you have two zeros in a row, that really doesn't help you at all.
And when I choose Maleficent as one of my dark horses, yeah. Should have thought better about Disney and Angelina Jolie.
Classic mistake.
Yeah, but I'm glad I'm not last.
Yeah. Speaking of not last, Jose, you're next up here.
Woo! Yeah.
You're third from last. You had a total. You had 51 points, and because I added you late in the game, I subtracted 5, so you still have 46 points. So it still didn't make too much of a difference. Wait, what did I say? How many points did I just say you had?
He's got 46.
46.
You have 46 points. You had 51 points, which actually gave you a pretty good total there. But yeah, the minus. The 5 dropped you a bit. With that in mind, your picks. You had 22 Jump Street, Neighbors, Guardians of the Galaxy, Maleficent, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, X-Men, which was dead on, Godzilla, Transformers, which was also dead on, but Dragons.
Oh, Dragons.
Yep.
That was the killer.
Mm-hmm.
My top moments. So I went to go watch Transformers 4 with my little brother because he was back from college. And we had a nearly empty theater, so we just spent the entire movie laughing. And the best moment from that was when the Dinobots escape into the Chinese wilderness. Because
he just lets them go.
Yeah, he's just like, you're free now. And they're just like, so they're just going to roam like the Chinese wilderness now? Like, I want to see that movie.
They're still there.
Exactly. my brother and I thought that was hilarious. The second one was, I believe it's Koba, but correct me if I'm wrong, that when they storm the tank in Apes.
Yeah.
Which is a really, it ends in that circular shot following the gun. I just thought that was one of the coolest shots in the entire summer. And I'm glad I got to pick it because I was afraid other people would say it first. But the sequence with Star-Lord dancing to Redbone from Guardians of the Galaxy, the credit sequence, that's probably – when that moment hit, I knew I was going to love that movie.
All right. So that's Jose. Next up – oh, man. Mark Hoban, you – are here now with fourth from last. I think what does that make you? Four total? How many people are on this thing? We got so many people in this. This is our biggest one.
4, 5, 6, 7 of us. So that makes it makes Mark up in fourth.
Yeah, you came in fourth. All right. I think you did better than you thought you did, Mark, actually, come to think of it, but you seemed quite down.
Well, fourth? I knew I didn't even come close to the win.
With that in mind,
Mark lives by Ricky Bobby mentality.
Do you know your top 10, Mark? Do you have it in front of you by chance?
I do.
You want to read it?
You want me to say it?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
All right. So 10, I had Neighbors. 9, I had 22 Jump Street. 8 was Maleficent. 7 was Guardians of the Galaxy. 6 was Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. 5 was Godzilla. 4 was X-Men Days of Future Past. And I got that one right on the dot.
Yep.
That was the only thing. 3 was The Amazing Spider-Man 2. 2, How to Train Your Dragon. And 1 was Transformers.
Oh, yeah. You got 49 points.
I underestimated Guardians and Maleficent. And I way overestimated How to Train Your Dragon and The Amazing Spider-Man. So those were the areas that killed me.
I mean, to be fair, we all overestimated dragons, too.
we all did dragon. But, like, Maleficent, that was me. And of course, Ninja Turtles destroyed me too because I had Neighbors as number 10, and that dropped out, and that would have been 10 points right there by getting it on the nose. So that like knocked me down, like way down. So that
would have put you in some good company.
Yeah,
yeah. That would have been an amazing if you had Neighbors. Or I'm sorry, Teenage Mutant Turtles at 10.
Yeah, yeah, and I did have it as a dark horse, so I had a feeling that it would do well, but I just thought Neighbors would do better, so.
Right, 3 out of 7 of us had that feeling.
Yeah.
Cowabunga.
Yay!
All right, and then my 3 favorite moments of the summer. Number 3, making the ultimate grilled cheese sandwich in Chef.
Yes. Nice.
Great moment.
Nice.
Number 2 was Godzilla vomits radioactive fire into the Muto's mouth. Love that scene. And number 1, and I might be stealing Aaron's later, but I'll say it now, that brutal fight sequence in Snowpiercer with the axe-wielding thugs in complete darkness. It's my number.
You're not stealing that from me, actually. I didn't have that on my list.
Okay, all right. Well, I know you love Snowpiercer.
I did, yeah.
And that was, there's many scenes, but that was one that was kind of stood out.
Yeah. Well, I'm next, so I'll just address that right now. I was third. But yeah, Snowpiercer, there was too much of that movie to like single out, so I was like, I'm just not going to count this. I have other moments. Yeah, I was in third place. I put up a valiant effort given that I didn't have any that were dead on, but I still managed to get third place apparently. Somehow.
Yeah, you scored fairly well.
I was very good of picking one
all
away.
All within one of each other.
There's only like 2 of my picks that are more than one away. Besides Tammy, which just screwed me completely. So I have a 0 and no top 10 picks that are dead on. But yeah, I have Tammy, 22 Jump Street, Godzilla, Guardians of the Galaxy, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, X-Men Days of Future Past, Maleficent, Dragon, Spider-Man 2, and Transformers. Obviously, I underestimated Guardians of the Galaxy, just like all of us pretty much did. And I, once again, Spider-Man screwed me. This is twice in a row that a Spider-Man movie has screwed me in this summer wager, because the first year I thought, oh, Brave can do better than Spider-Man. That's how that will work. And that didn't happen.
That was an audacious pick. I think we all said that on the podcast prior.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I didn't have Blended or Million Ways to Die in the
West.
What
was your point total, Aaron?
My point total is 52. And I had Edge of Tomorrow, Turtles, and Jersey Boys as my dark horses. So
Jersey Boys.
Turtles gave me a bump, a bit, but it would, if Jose didn't get a deduction, we'd be tied with 51 each. Well,
done.
If I didn't have Turtles.
Yeah, if you didn't have Turtles.
Yeah. But yeah, all of these are like pretty close to what they like, because you have Jump Street and Godzilla and like Apes and X-Men. I had them like around where they were, but it's just like trying to pin that down. As far as my top three movie moments go, my third place is Godzilla epically finishing off the Muto by vomiting plasma nukes out his throat, because that's amazing. That scene is just bonkers. Number two is when it's before the Koba scene on the tank, actually, for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. It's right before that. It's where he picks up the two machine guns and just is on the horse going, fuck yeah, motherfucker. That scene is amazing.
That whole sequence is great. That's two great moments back to back.
But when he picks up the second one, he's like, wait a minute, I can do this twice.
Like dual-wield!
Dual-wield.
Yeah, exactly. He's become Halo 2.
He had his John Woo moment.
We're actually doves in the background.
My number one is the scene in Boyhood, where Patricia Arquette is confronted by the young man who now manages the restaurant.
I thought of that too.
Let alone like the scene after, where it's like the final scene with Patricia Arquette. But that scene, after seeing it again, I get like why it got me. It's because like she's there at the restaurant and her like kids are there, and so they're seeing her get like this just wonderful like pick me up moments from like some other party completely, and you just see this joy on her face and her kid's face, and like all the shit that her daughter gives her all the time, you get to see her actually smile at her mother for like something great happening to like for a number of people different of lives, and it's just it's wonderful. It's a wonderful moment, and I love that.
Wonderful movie too.
It is a wonderful movie. All right, so, see, moving on here.
Oh, the tension is thick. There's only
two more people. Yeah, this is.
Oof.
This could be.
I think we should go to commercial break.
Yeah, we should. But all right. let's just go. Let's go play by play what happened. Okay, so obviously Jose and Alan, they submitted their list a little bit later. Jordan also submitted his list later. 2 weeks later, which initially meant that it'd be a 10-point deduction, because it's 5 points lost for 1 week, so 2 weeks, obviously 10 points makes sense. Now he's not even on this podcast, so despite him doing easily the best of all of us in this list, he's not here to win.
We're not trying to say that we're just taking points up. You know, he said he was going to be on the show.
Yeah, I was doing a lot of moving around of this time of this podcast to make sure things had happened the way they should happen. But apparently that's not possible. So Jordan is that means he's in third place. That means I get second place on this. I get silver this time around.
Grab that silver.
Yeah, that means Maxwell Haddad is our winner this year for the summer camp.
Oh my god! I'm having a panic attack over here in New York. I don't even know. I want to thank my publicist. I want to thank my agent. I want to thank my dog, and I want to thank the movies. Thank you so much.
Well, we'll get to you in a second. We'll go over Jordan's list real quick because it's pretty amazing. So Jordan, at number 10, he had Edge Tomorrow. That got him nothing. He had A Million Ways to Die in the West, number 9. That got him nothing. Now, here's where the fun stuff happens. He has 22 Jump Street, dead on, 10 points. Godzilla, dead on, 10 points. Amazing Spider-Man 2, dead on, 10 points. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, dead on, 10 points.
Wow.
Dragons 2, 3 points. Maleficent, third place, dead on, 10 points. X-Men, 2 spots away, 5 points. Transformers, 1 spot away, 7 points. So he had a total of 66 points. Oh, plus Guardians of the Galaxy. He had Guardians of the Galaxy as a dark horse, and he still wins this thing. Jesus. Yeah, so yeah, 1 point there. So he had a total of 66 points. That is far more than any of us on the show right now.
Yeah.
He did a tremendous job picking out his picks, but because
various
circumstances, including the fact that he didn't show up at his own damn winning show, he lost.
So 2 weeks late, he lost him 10 points.
See now, if he only lost the 10 points, he still won. That's the crazy part. Like, he got a 10-point deduction. He still is the winner. That's how good his top 10 list was. But because he's not here now, he gets nothing.
He gets an extra 5 points deducted.
Yeah, you know why? I'll tell you why. Hold on a second, Abe. Stall. I tell you why.
I'm stalling as best as I can right now. I'm trying to figure out what Aaron's going to do. I don't know what he's going to do.
I'll tell you why Jordan loses.
So basically, he's going to pick up a doll that's going to say something, I'm sure. He's going to pull the string. He's going to be like, there's a snake in my boots. But I don't know how to stall even more. I mean, what am I stalling for? It's like old man Marley.
Down the string. You know what? You know why? You know why Jordan loses, Abe? You know why?
Why does Jordan lose, Aaron?
Because the world ain't all sunshine and rainbows, Abe. It's a very mean and nasty place that will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody's going to get hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, how much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning's done. And Jordan didn't do that.
That was a great job, Rocky. Great job.
That's exactly what happened.
It's one of the best monologues ever.
Okay. So Jordan loses. It's in third place.
51 points.
He gets no prize. He would have got a prize, too, but he doesn't get it.
And
so
now,
Maxwell. Now that's out of the way.
Congratulations, sir.
Maxwell, do you have your top 10 in front of you?
I don't.
Okay, I'll read it then. You have Neighbors. Which got you nothing. 22 Jump Street, Guardians of the Galaxy, Maleficent, Godzilla, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which got you 10 points right there, Spider-Man, X-Men, Transformers, which also got you top 10 with 10 points, and then Dragons 2. So you had a total of, and you had in your Dark Horse, you had Tammy, Fault in Our Stars, and Jersey Boys. You had nothing came out of that good. But you still got 55 points, mainly because you had two dead-ons, which really helped you right there.
Wow. What's ironic is actually picking How to Train Your Dragon at number one actually helped you indirectly.
Yes.
You didn't know why Transformers should be number two, but you did put it at number two. And that was a good thing.
Yeah, who knew? Those dragons really kind of slayed us all this summer. Yeah.
I cannot believe the one main
cartoon overseas though. So
the one main cartoon of the summer didn't really perform that much, and there really wasn't a whole lot of family fare this summer. I guess
Legends
Guardians,
of Oz, Dorothy's Return,
yeah,
and Maleficent was kind of, but there was nothing.
But
nothing really for like young kids exactly. But
I don't know why either. It's a weird kind of. That it didn't do better.
There's some really great animated films coming out later in the year. I'm very excited about Big Hero 6 and Box Trolls.
Yeah.
I think there's something else too. I don't know. That was it. Book of Love or something. Book of Life. Sorry. It's hard to say whether that will be good or not. But I'm curious about it.
Yeah. It was a weird summer overall. And I was, I was listening back to our wager show, which was pretty fun, mainly because we had all these different ideas of what was going to happen this summer.
Yeah, wild ideas.
Although I did make a big point of saying I can't wait to see Chef because I feel as it's just going to be like the most delightful film and all of it, and that completely came true. Yeah, exactly that.
You just dropped the gauntlet, Maxwell. What were your top three moments of the year?
All right, so this is difficult, and I'm purposely now going back through my head and picking moments from movies that none of you mentioned. Number three, the closing credits of 22 Jump Street, wherein they envision all potential future sequels.
That's a great
which thing. I thought was just really clever and funny. Number two, and this is a big spoiler, if you haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon 2, the scene where Toothless basically becomes possessed and kills Hiccup's father was unexpectedly emotional for me. I kind of broke down in the theater and lost control, and it was just a beautiful and sort of shocking moment. And I think it made that film transcend just being a kid's film.
I had that moment too, and I was like, that's kind of a downer. So I'm happy.
It's a downer. It had such an effect on me that I couldn't miss it. And then my number one moment, and I'm kind of surprised no one said this, the Quicksilver escape sequence from X-Men Days of Future Past set to Time in a Bottle, which I thought was just superb and maybe the best action sequence of the summer, maybe.
It's it'll come up in the feedback, I can tell you that right now. And it was another one that like I considered. But
I considered it also.
I think it's more of we were just warmer to the other movies that we picked that kind of left it out.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if one of you had mentioned it, I wouldn't have. But like I said, I tried to pick moments from movies none of you guys had already mentioned to spread the love.
So those are the results.
Woo! Do I really get a prize? Oh my God.
Yeah, you get a prize. Yeah, everyone gets a prize.
my goodness.
When I see you, that'll be the best time for me to get you a prize.
You can pay for my flight.
Oh, wow.
No. That is the result of the wager. Going over it again, it went Alan, Jose, or no, Alan, Abe, Jose, Mark, Jordan, myself, and then Maxwell. So this is fun to keep track of, though, throughout the summer. I know, Mark, you kept keeping track of it, too, because it's kind of what was happening with the top 10.
Yeah, before Guardians came out, I was doing pretty good.
Yeah, every week it you know, upset a new ranking in the top 10.
Right, and I was kind of thinking, you know, we keep saying about how, like, we all picked, our number 10 pick was bad, I think, for all of us. So it didn't really matter whether you were, you know, really far off or just barely, like, picking Neighbors as my number 10, even though it barely made it, does me no good. I might as well have picked Tammy or Blended or something, because it didn't do me any favors.
Was that number 10 until Turtles came?
Yes. Yeah. It literally the week before Labor Day, Turtles needed to make a certain amount of money to replace Neighbors as in the top 10.
Neighbors was funny.
Yeah.
It was.
I liked exactly one scene in Turtles.
The elevator? Beatbox scene? Yes!
Oh, the elevator.
So good. I wanted more of that.
Beatboxing scene.
Looking at the tens, actually, only Jose got points for his 10 choice, because all of us had zeros for the number 10 spot. Well, Jose had 22 Jump Street.
When you get down to the bottom of the list and there's so many, like, potential stragglers, it can be hard to sort of pick which one.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't think Edge of Tomorrow was going to be nowhere to be found.
Right. Oh, seriously.
And yet it ended up being so freaking awesome.
Yeah.
And Live, Die, Repeat is a better title, may I just say.
I mean, All You Need Is Kill is, like, the bad thing.
That would have been, yeah, if they stuck with that, I would have been all for it. But I guess it might have
marketing some just overthink things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we get into some feedback, Aaron? Just keep on rolling with this top three summer movies?
Yeah, we can do that. Let's go into it. Let's do some Not Now feedback.
Feedback.
This is where we go over the various questions and answers that we got on our Facebook page, facebook.com/OutNowPodcast. And we asked just two questions this week, but they reflect the kind of summer movie standings. And with that said, you guys can feel free to add your own, you know, answers as well. But Abe, you want to start this one off?
Absolutely. So, again, we asked our listeners what their top three films of the summer were. And friend of the show, Brandon Peters, writes Guardians of the Galaxy, Edge of Tomorrow, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Not really sure if Snowpiercer counts in what you're going for here. And, yeah, of course it does.
I'd count it.
Yeah. April writes Guardians of the Galaxy, Edge of Tomorrow, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Shelley writes what April said, but I haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon 2 yet. Jeanette writes 100-Foot Journey, How to Train Your Dragon 2, and Boyhood. Eric writes Guardians Training Until Dawn.
Nice.
Very succinct. Lewis writes Guardians of the Galaxy for sure. Friend of the show Leia Ducey has How to Train Your Dragon 2, Guardians, and Snowpiercer. And friend of the show Scott Mendelson writes offhand How to Train Your Dragon 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Snowpiercer.
And then Mike Jones has Godzilla, Guardians, and hopefully Green Inferno. I think he's doing that just for the alliteration. But Green Inferno, that's the Eli Roth film that is right now in like hell because the studio stuff is making that release fairly impossible to take place. So I don't know if we're ever going to see Green Inferno this year or even next year. We'll find out, I guess. Edbury has Guardians, Guardians, and Guardians as his top three of the summer.
I think people really like that movie, guys.
Seems like it. Tyler has Guardians, The Purge, Anarchy, and Edge of Tomorrow. Have not seen Boyhood yet. I have a feeling that would replace one of those movies. Bob has...
Hey, probably The Purge.
Bob has Edge of Tomorrow, Guardians of the Galaxy, and How to Train Your Dragon 2. Danny, all of these have Guardians almost. Danny has Guardians, Edge of Tomorrow, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Honorable mention for X-Men. Justin has Guardians for sure, Edge of Tomorrow, and I liked TMNT. I know you'll hate that, but I liked it. I don't hate you, Justin.
Aaron hate it, right.
If you had fun, you had fun, just like I did. Doesn't mean I need to see it more times. Haven't seen many others yet, Snowpiercer, Apes, Boyhood, and The Signal he really wants to see, and I certainly recommend him doing that.
Both do.
Anybody. And he also asked, does Ghostbusters count? It was in theaters. Of course. Yeah.
I'm going to allow it. Yeah. Why not?
Manish has Guardians, Edge of Tomorrow, and Lucy/Begin Again.
You know, actually, that reminds me. One of my picks that I loved, one of the moments of the summer, was that part where the instruments start playing themselves as
I
Dan.
I almost picked that.
Yeah, Dan imagines Greta's acoustic number with musical support. I could really like that.
It's a good moment.
Yeah.
Jake Man has Boyhood. Can't really come up with two more as far as stuff I saw in theater this summer, but Boyhood.
I mean, that's an excellent pick. And then we asked, let's hear about some favorite movie moments of this summer. And Brandon writes, Time in a Bottle, Escape from Days of Future Past. So there you go, Maxwell.
Yes,
Carl writes, Tilda Swinton in a Snowpiercer with her,
just her.
Teeth and a shoe on her head. April writes, I'm going to need that guy's eye.
That's a great pick.
That is, if I was going to pick one moment from Snowpiercer, it would probably be the classroom scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is the scene that sort of really sells the allegory that the film is going for. And Alison Pill in like her 8-minute role just nails it. And I love that scene.
It's so bizarre with the eggs and everything.
People. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So bizarre with the eggs there. Moving along, Mike has Godzilla winning.
I like that.
Yeah. You know, Nuclear Inferno's the monsters throw it there.
Just like one of the few like scream and cheer and pump up your fist moments of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just like, yeah! And then Peter, the usher is like, be quiet, there's children!
You're like, you can't stop me! Fuck yeah, I can!
You can't even find me in the theater! Tyler writes, when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ended...
Aww!
Manish writes, the breakout from jail in Guardians of the Galaxy, so he's going to need some guy's leg. And lastly, Jason has the awesome fun scene and fake posters in 22 Jump Street ending credits.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Thanks for the feedback, guys.
Do you guys have a favorite like move? Like, if you had to single out one movie from the summer, do you have a favorite?
A single favorite movie? Huh? Kind of like a toss-up between Boyhood and How You Train Guardians of the Galaxy. I've seen both, like, twice.
Yeah, I'd be torn between Boyhood and Snowpiercer. And then in terms of, like, popcorn summer fun movies, Guardians.
Off the top of my head, probably Guardians, yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy. It's the movie everyone can agree on.
What about you, Aaron?
Blockbuster.
Besides Boyhood and Snowpiercer, I'd go ahead and Change Your Dragon, too, I think, probably.
But, yeah.
A lot of good movies this summer. I wish I'd...
It was a solid summer.
Surprised me a little bit there.
I still don't know what I'm going to do with my list at the end of the year. I love Boyhood, Guardians, and Snowpiercer. I love all three of those. Actually, this was a really good summer, I thought. I know there's been a lot of talk about how, as far as box office, it didn't perform. But as far as entertainment value, I definitely had quite a few films I liked a lot. So all three of those would be at the top somewhere.
I definitely hear what you're saying, and I mean, friend of the show, Scott Mendelson, will be first to say this summer was never really going to be about making huge tons of money because there just weren't many, like, super huge franchise films coming out that, you know, had the potential to make billions of dollars in the same way that Avengers will next summer or Star Wars will in the winter. But,
Not that we're box office experts, clearly, based on these results.
Yeah.
But do you guys think if there were a few less... you know, not huge, but, like, almost huge movies, like a new one coming out each week that certain ones would have played a little longer? Or do you think in this day and age movies just can't play long anymore except for the rare one like Guardians?
I think it just comes down to positioning of how these releases came out. I think something like Edge of Tomorrow just got lost in the shuffle. Same with How to Train Your Dragon 2, for that matter, as well. I think that just there was a lot of front-loading in May and June, which led July and August to be pretty open season for whatever happened to be taking, you know, like something like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, while it wasn't like a breakout hit necessarily, so it did make more than a Rise, and it just had a very clear time to do so because it came out like mid-July, and then there was nothing else coming out except Guardians afterwards to really, you know, counter it in terms of making money. So meanwhile, something like Godzilla, which again made its money and had a huge opening weekend, but, you know, it got washed away in the following weeks by X-Men and then Mount Maleficent, and it was just so crowded. It's why it was hard for movies to kind of sustain.
Yeah, that's
kind of
what I was. Yeah.
I don't know how they count summer money, but there was a couple of bigger-ish movies kind of right on the outside. Does Cap money count for summer?
It's not a summer movie.
Okay, so I figured no. So there's that, and then Divergent did pretty decent.
Oh, Lego Movie is the biggest example there, too. I mean, Lego Movie
and then, one movie of last year.
And we have a Hunger Games movie coming that's also going to clean up.
And before Guardians, Captain America was the biggest movie of the year, like, in terms of domestic box office. Like, that didn't change until Guardians finally, you know.
I think the year will recover, though. I mean, Mockingjay, Interstellar, and The Hobbit will all probably flirt or pass 300.
For sure, The Hunger Games, I think that might be the number one film of the year. But yeah. The Hobbit, I don't know. I feel like it's lost its luster a little bit. I'm not sure how much people are anticipating. I mean, I know it's going to be a hit, but I don't know if it'll do over 300. That seems a little high.
I think it's very
possible. I think for being the final entry, I think it will. Two Towers didn't make as much as Fellowship.
That's maybe. True. There is that.
The second one did make 260, so it wasn't, like, so far off. I don't know. You could be right, but...
Interstellar, I'm so looking forward to that. There's something, too, with Brad Pitt that's coming out. The Fury?
Fury, that's...
That looks kind of interesting, too. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be, like, the biggest hit, but I think it might do quite well.
I was wrong, by the way. Two Towers made more than Fellowship, but, I mean, it's... But yeah, I.
Well, I think one thing, if we're discussing box office, we have to just touch on briefly is that from 10 years ago, when the original Lord of the Rings movies have come out, the paradigm has really shifted to domestic box office is increasingly less important. The studios are now caring far more about overseas dollars.
Oh, yeah.
These Hobbit movies are making billions of dollars, and so they barely care about how it does in the U.S. Or How to Train Your Dragon 2 did okay here, but it made a total of $600 million worldwide, which is a ton of money for a movie to make.
Even Into Tomorrow, which still cost too much to begin with, but it did, you know, it made 364 worldwide, which isn't, like, you know, amazing. But when you call it a flop, it's like, well, it didn't necessarily flop. It's just
People don't consider how much money they're making overseas because that didn't used to be a huge factor. Mm-hmm. But all these markets are expanding now: China, Japan, especially in the East. And movies are doing huge.
The business in China is actually changing storylines. Like,
yeah, it is.
They're actually rewriting scripts in order to favorably, cater to China. I mean,
that's the only reason Transformers takes place there is because, not to give a history lesson, but the Chinese government picks and chooses what movies show in their screens. So if you use the government of China as a financial partner in the creation of your film, such as Iron Man 3 or Transformers 4, you're going to play there. And Transformers 4 broke box office records in China. It made ton more money there than it did here.
And now they've got to watch out for those Dinobots in the forest.
Yep.
Yeah, they really screwed themselves over with that.
They're tame now. Optimus tamed them.
See what you get when you let Michael Bay in your country?
Did you guys have a kind of like a pleasant surprise of the summer? I had a lot of fun with Hercules, like way more than I thought.
Edge of Tomorrow was definitely my
pick. Edge of Tomorrow, yeah.
See, I see it as a, I guess because it was as good as it was, maybe it's a bit of a surprise, but I always thought I was going to enjoy that movie, but...
Yeah, I didn't.
I was pretty indifferent, and I was like, oh, this is awesome.
I can say I was slightly disappointed that Days of Future Past wasn't the X-Men movie I was hoping. Well,
I think you and I both agree about that. I mean,
it's hard to be disappointed. Like, I was more because I was always on the fence about the fact that there were so many mutants and that wasn't the thing to pride itself on. But that ended up not being my issue with the movie. So I guess I was surprised that I had issues with it for other reasons other than the one that I was expecting, which wasn't an issue.
I have to say I was really surprised by how good Guardians of the Galaxy was. I mean, I expected it to be, you know, enjoyable, but I didn't expect it to be, like, possibly my favorite film of the year. I mean, it really captivated me a lot. And then the other one, too, I kind of liked a lot on a different level, but Lucy. I didn't expect, mm-hmm. Wasn't even anticipating that film at all. And I kind of enjoyed that movie, but kind of in a snarky way.
In a tongue-in-cheek kind of way, yeah.
Yeah, but I did enjoy it. I mean, I was laughing a lot. I mean, those scenes, like, she's being stalked by the people, and then they're showing scenes in the outback with the... I mean, it was just ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, they're, like, Aaron was bringing it up, too. He's like, yeah, I don't know why they're cutting so many scenes from Samsara in this movie.
Yeah.
they bought them from Samsara. I was like, what is going on here? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry, I was just going to say, when she's all dressed up in her little mini skirt, and then she's meeting Lucy, the Australopithecus, and they're touching fingers like the Sistine Chapel, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so bizarre.
My favorite moment from that movie is the cops sitting outside that building as all the gangsters run in. And then, like, within the same frame, I was like, do you guys not see, like, 50 gangsters just running into this building? You guys are just like, what, do we have enough bullets? I don't know.
We need a riff tracks on that movie. I'm telling you, that would be classic.
There are some people
put that on the list. Lucy for commentary.
It'll be on the list.
I think it's brilliant, though. So I don't want to mess with those guys.
I think, is it this month or next month they're doing Anaconda as a riff tracks? Oh my gosh. That Anaconda,
that's,
I'm sorry, is one
that's
of
like
my
one of our favorite mom movie reviews.
That is one of my guilty pleasures, is Anaconda.
See, I like Anaconda. Like,
oh, I love John Voight in that film.
I like it in the way where it's hard for me to like make, to watch someone make fun of it because I like the movie too much.
Right. But if somebody tells me they hate Anaconda, I kind of go, okay, yeah, I get it. But I still love it.
I don't think when you do a riff tracks on a movie, you actually hate it, though.
I agree, yeah, but it's just there's a level of, like, how much do I need to make fun of this movie? Like, I can do that myself kind of thing for movies that I already have an admiration for as opposed to something, you know, actually, like Ed Wood stuff or something.
Aaron, you know I saw the riff tracks for Godzilla. That was really enjoyable.
Well, yeah, well, that movie's terrible.
It is a terrible movie, and I didn't even like it, but I enjoyed – they're really good at what they do.
I'd like to just say something very quickly.
Snakes up to this peak. Okay. I can say I was surprised by the amount of quality change I felt in How to Train Your Dragon 2 from How to Train Your Dragon 1, as I know myself, and I believe Mark and I were both not as high on the first How to Train Your Dragon as a majority of you guys are.
Still liked it, right?
No, yeah, I like How to Train Your Dragon, but
I liked it too.
But while I expected to like 2, I didn't expect to like it as much as I did.
Those flying sequences were really stunning too. I mean, I know every year we up the ante in terms of animation, but that really was some really extraordinary stuff. I was really amazed by it.
I don't need to get into how surprised I was by the amount of hate towards Spider-Man 2, but that's, you know, that's a different topic.
My hate?
Hate in general.
Dave, Henry,
none of us were surprised by Million Dollar Arm making no money, except Dave, I guess.
I thought that
that's a low blow.
I thought South Asia was going to help me out there, but guess not.
Even when I remember that show and Abe picked it, and you're like, "What?" Like you're almost talking him out of it on the show.
Said, what? I was like, "Trust me, guys. I know what I'm talking about."
What else? What other things can we talk about?
I still recommend Hercules because The Rock throws a horse at one point.
Yeah.
And other things happened. They were fun.
That movie got kind of good reviews, too.
Yeah, it did.
It got killed by the marketing, because I think everybody's expecting – I was expecting kind of a dreary, kind of not fun movie, and I just ended up having way more fun than –
I don't know. I was kind of expecting an over-the-top crazy movie featuring giant monsters, but that's just the first 5 minutes of the movie, and so you got none of that.
The credits for that movie are actually really fun. That kind of gives you the backstory of...
Oh, yeah. I don't know how to throw in something about Step Up All In, but I can just say Step Up All In is one of the best movies of the summer. That's all I need to really
add to
that.
Is that out of theaters? Because I think I missed it. Oh, I'm so sad. I'll catch it later.
Just, Aaron, briefly, what is the appeal of these Step Up movies for you? I know you love them.
It's not about loving, although I would say 3D and this All In are just... They're superb at what they're trying to do. And the franchise as a whole is not a franchise that I love. It's just more of I appreciate what it's doing because it feels like it's accomplishing its goal. And while I appreciate movies like X-Men, or for example, I can't say that I felt Days of Future Past accomplished its goal entirely.
And what is the goal? I mean, like choreography?
It's choreography mixed in just the kind of putting that on the screen in a way that I haven't seen it before and making it not only coherent but just enjoyable, basically.
I don't think you're the biggest fan of musicals, right? You're not a big fan of them, I don't think. I mean, not that you dislike them, but
I'm picky about them.
Here's a case in point. You didn't see Moulin Rouge for like 10 years, and that was like, you know, a huge hit. So it's interesting that you're such a big fan of the Step Up movies, because I think of those as like kind of like musicals in a way.
I think of them as action movies. That's kind of how I picture them.
Okay.
It just requires it's a matter of
it's more modern.
The highlight of your movie is, you know, these elaborate choreographed sequences that, you know, depending on how they're filmed, makes it worthwhile. And that's...
Have you seen either the original or the remake of Footloose?
Yeah, I've seen both, and I like both.
Both? Love both. Okay. Okay. Well, that's consistent.
I saw Footloose fairly recently, the original Footloose fairly recently, actually, and I was surprised that nobody told me how good the movie actually is. I guess, I had an image of what it was based off the scenes that are parodied so much, but
I mean, that was a huge hit, so I don't know why someone had to tell you that.
No, yeah, like no one's ever emphasized the fact that it's a good movie. They just emphasize like.
But that was a hit, like Flashdance or Saturday Night Fever.
Flashdance is not a good movie, though. Like I don't consider that a good movie. Saturday Night Fever is a fantastic movie.
There is sort of there is something to Flashdance though. It's got good music, and it's filmed. Adrian Lyne films it very. I don't know what the word for it is. He films it well. Like it's very glossy.
Oh yeah, it's that 80s gloss that the same with
it's like 80s gloss and it looks nice. It's a well filmed. It looks like a rich looking movie. I mean, it doesn't look cheap.
It's the same with a movie like Top Gun, both Jerry Bruckheimer productions, and I don't like Top Gun either. But I feel like they have that flash that I can see why it's a hit to begin with.
Right.
For whatever reason, I really responded to Footloose. I'm like, yeah, all right, good movie. And then I really like because I like Craig Brewer, the director for Footloose. He did Black Snake Moan and Hustle and Flow movies I adore. So I'm like, all right, he's doing a Footloose remake. Well, how's this go? And it's like, I wouldn't say it's perfect or like a great movie, but at the same time, I'm like, I appreciate this. I see what he did. Like, I like it.
The Footloose remake is where I discovered Miles Teller.
Miles Teller, exactly.
Yes.
Oh, he's the Chris Penn part, right?
Yes, correct, yeah.
Right.
But I mean, musical, what topic are we on? Musicals. like, there's a lot I really love. There's a lot of just, it's more of, it's one of the genres I have the biggest issue with tolerance. Like, if I'm in it, I'm in it. But if I'm not, I'm not. So something like West Side Story, I absolutely love. Something like Sound of Music's like, all right, this is long. Like, I appreciate what you're doing here, but my God, this is still going. Sweeney Todd, I love. Like, it's very case-by-case basis. Rent, God.
Action movies are kind of like that, too, you know? When I reviewed Hercules, I talked about how I love the Rush Hour movies. Well, at least the first two.
Yeah.
Because that's all about Jackie Chan doing crazy stuff and doing all these crazy choreography. It's not the greatest movie, but if you're on board with Jackie Chan, then you can have fun with that.
And their chemistry with Chris Tucker, of course. Also.
Yeah, exactly. So I get where you're coming from with that. And the step-up movies are fun. There's I love So You Think You Can Dance, and since probably the third one, there's a lot of alums on there, and that's just a neat thing for me, too, when I watch those
I watched that show, too, actually.
It's a good show. It's probably
I record it and I fast forward through. I literally watch it in 20 minutes. I don't even listen.
Oh, yeah, just the dancing.
I don't listen to the judges. That Mary Murphy like gives me a headache. But but the dancing, I just fast forward. I watch the dance and then go to the next one. Watch the dance and it's like it's really a good. I mean, if you just watch that, they're very talented.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
To bring it back to where the step up thing was, I don't think I finished up the step up. But it's a mix, like, it's not like I'm saying these movies have like acting you're not seeing because you don't see these movies and storylines that just make you go mad crazy. But at the same time, it's like in between those dance sequences, I'm laughing because there are ludicrous things that happen and the characters are like very broad and over the top or not very well acted, but makes it more entertaining because of that. There's just, it's something, it's like the gefilte fish of movies. I mean, it's just very, very much a taste that you can either get for it or not. That combined with, especially for 2, 3, and this latest one, the direction in these movies is fantastic. Like the amount of care that goes into portraying, showing off these choreographed sequences of like skilled dancers doing their stuff, it's really well done. And that, for whatever reason, like just makes a thing go off my head that says, I like this a lot.
It's good to hear that the direction kind of came back because after John Chu left for the fourth one.
Yeah.
That one's okay.
Yeah. No, it was terrible. It was a big disappointment.
Yeah, but he was doing interesting stuff on the LXD at the time, so that was okay. Which I recommend to if anybody enjoys the Step Up movies, go. I think it's probably still on Hulu.
It's a web series called LXD, League of Extraordinary Dancers.
And there's some really interesting. Basically, a bunch of short films, short kind of dance videos, but there's some really really good episodes in there.
What comedies came out that we liked this summer? That's another question I had.
I liked Neighbors.
We talked about Neighbors, yeah. Neighbors, which I liked quite a bit, too.
22 Jump Street.
I actually was one of the few people that enjoyed A Million Ways to Die in the West.
There was moments.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
I laughed a lot. I laughed quite a bit in it, actually.
I didn't get to see a lot of art house or indie stuff this summer. But well, is there any indie comedies that?
Yeah, because The Trip to Italy is the movie I consider to be the funniest of the year for me. Like, I love that movie a lot.
I still have to see that.
Because Frank's not like a comedy. It's a comedy, but it's offbeat. And I really like Frank a lot. But I wouldn't say it's like because of how hilarious I found it to be.
So I've had people tell me that they thought Calvary was a comedy, so.
Yes. I mean, Expendables 3 was hilarious, that's for sure.
When is it not hilarious?
Get to the chopper.
I heard that he says that like 4 times.
No, he says chopper twice.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that you heard it.
People want to make fun of Willis for saying he wanted too much money. You know what he did? He avoided being in Expendables 3. So good on him.
I don't know if anybody watched it, but the Fluffy movie was pretty good. That was the
Gabriel Iglesias.
Gabriel Iglesias concert movie. Yeah, it's a good set. And
is it all concert stuff, or is there light stuff?
It actually starts with a little. It starts with kind of a short film detailing kind of how he got into comedy, and it's this, he has this really this funny kid watching Eddie Murphy Raw, I think, on like a VHS, and kind of it's like a mini film about his childhood and leads into just his performance in San Francisco. So it's all one show.
They Came Together was pretty amusing.
Yeah, was that summer?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. That was a couple of weeks ago.
Where's my thing on it? As I saw
sometime
it
like, in July.
I saw it end of June. Yeah, okay. So, yeah.
I thought it was one of those movies where the sort of like the parts were better than the whole, but it was pretty consistently funny.
Oh, I love They Came Together. I've been championing that for weeks on end. That movie.
I really like David Wayne's
sense
of humor. Yeah, I've been a fan since Stella. I don't know if any of you guys have seen that.
Well, I mean, not since The State, like since like.
Yeah, I love The State, but I saw The State after I saw Stella.
After saw Stella.
Yeah, and Stella is so weird. I just love it.
Or like Wet Hot American Summer, that'd be. So.
Yeah, that's still his best movie probably. But I do like Role Models.
I like Role Models. I think more. I think I like that the most actually.
Yeah, Role Models is a little more mainstream than his other stuff.
Yeah.
Like The Ten and Wet Hot and They Came Together are sort of. Like experiments in absurdism, whereas Role Models has like a beginning, middle, and end. And Wanderlust was okay.
Yeah, it's got some moments.
Aaron introduced me to one segment in The Ten, which I still find hilarious.
The CAT scan machine segment with Liev Schreiber.
With Liev Schreiber.
That scene is amazing.
Slays me. I'm gonna watch it after we finish this.
Let's get some really early thoughts on next year's summer because I just pulled that up right now.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna go May, but I'm not saying to rank them, Abe. And we've already disqualified you from saying Avengers could be a number one movie for any other year in our summer gamble wagers. so you're stuck with Ted 2, I guess.
Yes.
Here we go. Here's I'm just gonna read like the months. Okay, so here's May. May has Avengers: Age of Ultron, something called Don't Mess with Texas with Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara. The match made in heaven, right there. It's
funniest
action
movie of the year.
It's an action comedy. Right, it's the heat of southwestern comedies. Mad Max: Fury Road, Pitch Perfect: Deuce,
yes.
Spy, which is the Paul Feig movie with Melissa McCarthy and Jason Statham, the second best comedic team up of the year.
Yeah.
Tomorrowland, the very secret Brad Bird project of George Clooney and Judy Greer. With everyone's favorite David Lindelof scripting that one, although of The Leftovers, it's really pick things up for him, I'd say. Let's see, Insidious Chapter 3, which is a prequel. So there you go. Something called Monster Trucks, which already sounds amazing. It's an animated movie from Chris Wedge. I think he did Ice Age movies.
Yeah.
With Jane Levy from was that a Suburgatory? Jane Levy?
Yeah, now canceled, but yes.
Now canceled, yeah. Lucas Till, Amy Ryan, Rob Lowe, Danny Glover, who's still not too old for this shit, and a bunch of others. Monster Trucks, all right. Is it like Cars, but they're just talking monster
saying,
trucks?
It's actually, yeah, it's a prequel to Planes, Fire, and Rescue.
Where's Jeff Foxworthy? Oh, okay. and then let's see, Untitled Cameron Coe Project. I think that's a Ridley Scott film. but yeah, this has Bradley Cooper, Emma Stone, Rachel McAdams, Alec Baldwin, Bill Murray, John Krasinski, Danny McBride, Jay Burris. That's an amazing cast for this Cameron Coe project.
Count me in.
So that's May.
Yep.
There you go for that. So what's the Memorial Day weekend? Is that Tomorrowland and Spy, I guess? Yeah. Here's June. June, we have Boo, Bureau of Otherworldly Operations, with Seth Rogen and Melissa McCarthy and Bill Murray. That's another animated DreamWorks movie. Mm. And then we have San Andreas with Wayne, the Deus Silent, The Rock Johnson. So Jose will be on for that.
That's finally the GTA movie.
San Andreas, right? Yeah, I see.
I do. He's CJ.
The Rock is CJ.
That's after you go to the gym and ride your bike for 3 hours and do everything, and then that's he's CJ.
Yeah. I do get like a half second like glint of like, is that the GTA movie? Then we have Entourage, which Mark Wahlberg announced on the MTV Movie Awards this year that it would be the number one film of next summer. So look forward to that.
All right, I look forward to that one.
It's like the Avengers, except with douchebags teaming up to do blowing women. It's going to be great, you guys.
And Billy Bob Thornton.
I guarantee it'll be the broiest movie of the summer.
I hope they go to the club called Ann Jeremy Piven. That's the
original. Nah, it's come see Entourage. You get a free bottle of Axe body spray on the way out.
And a Wahlberg. Fun.
Only one bottle.
The Fantastic Four film with this amazing cast and Kate Mara. Miles Teller, Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Bell, and Toby Kebbell, Koba himself as Dr. Doom.
Rock and roll himself.
Inside Out. That's the new Pixar film.
Yes, finally.
And then Ted 2, which I believe is just Seth MacFarlane talking to the audience. That's my TED Talk joke. So that's
hilarious.
June. I thought it was. Then in July, we have Terminator Genisys.
Is that really how they're spelling that?
Genisys? Yeah.
They're not gonna change it.
I'm calling it Genisys.
I'm going to call it Terminator Streets of Rage 2. Then there's Magic Mike XXL.
I'm very excited for that one.
I am too.
I mean, Soderbergh's not directing it, but he's editing it and operating the camera, so he's basically directing it.
Greg Jacobs is directing it. He's always involved in Soderbergh stuff. So
I'm interested to see how Channing Tatum's writing, because he wrote. He's that, right?
So he's part of the screenplay, yeah. I didn't think there was more territory to explore in the Horrible Bosses world, but we're getting that sequel, so Magic Mike 2 seems like a no-brainer to me. So. then we have Minions. Jesus. Okay, so July the 1st. Like, you know, Minions is the week after. I was going to say, it's like Terminator, Minions, and Magic Mike. That's crazy. So yeah, Minions.
Something for everybody that weekend.
Then Ant-Man and the
intriguing.
And the Joe Wright version of Peter Pan, just called Pan, with bald Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, that should be good. Joe Wright's
rocking an epic mustache.
Yeah. Then we have Trainwreck. That's the new Judd Apatow film with Amy Schumer, who also wrote.
I'm excited for that.
A Poltergeist remake.
I'm excited if it's under 2 hours.
I love Amy Schumer. Her show is amazing.
It is, yeah. I agree. Poltergeist remake with Sam Rockwell, Jared Harris, Rosemary DeWitt. All right.
It's hard not to be somewhat interested in a movie with that cast.
Directed by Gil Cannon, who I believe did Monster House, if I'm not mistaken.
He did do Monster House.
So he's doing Poltergeist. That's amazing.
He's basically remaking his own movie.
Monster House is that the animated one from a few years back? Is that what I'm thinking?
That's like Steve Buscemi's house comes alive.
Yeah.
It's like one of the great Halloween movies of modern times.
It came out like after Polar Express, but before Beowulf. It was still, but it's not a Robert Zemeckis film, but it's still in that kind of motion cap phase where it's like, this is kind of working.
Yeah.
But that movie's really good. That's
fun.
That's the sad part.
Yeah, that was one of the, I walked into that randomly with some friends and I had the best time.
Then we also have Pixels. This is the Adam Sandler, Kevin James, Peter Dinklage starring adaptation of the 5-minute short film that you can find on YouTube about like asteroids and other arcade games invading a real city.
We'll see.
Directed by Chris Columbus. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that.
Home Alone, Chris Columbus.
Then we have Grimsby with Sacha Baron Cohen. Mm. Let's see.
No idea what that is.
Something called Paper Towns.
That's an adaptation of a book.
That's a book?
It's a John Green novel, so he did The Fault in Our Stars, so that might
be. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
And then supposedly they're still threatening us with the Point Break remake. with Edgar Ramirez, the random
guy.
I really like Edgar Ramirez. I'd love to see him as Doctor Strange, but that doesn't seem to be happening.
Sadly.
And then in August, we have Michael Fassbender's Assassin's Creed.
Oh, my.
It's weird.
I forgot about that.
The first
that's
ever
still a thing, isn't it?
We'll see.
Yeah. Then we have Goosebumps, which I'm actually looking forward to, with Jack Black.
The concept for that is actually brilliant. Mm-hmm. And steal, I don't want to say steals because no one broke into my house or my brain, but I had basically the same concept, but instead of about R.L. Stein, about David Lynch, wherein David Lynch's creations escape his mind and take over the real world.
Because
mm-hmm. So, that's basically what the R.L. Stein is a character in the Goosebumps movie, which I think is a really clever way to go about it.
Then we have The Man from U.N.C.L.E., or U-N-C-L-E, from Guy Ritchie, which also stars Superman and the Lone Ranger.
Oh, really?
TV remake of Man from U.N.C.L.E. Wasn't that going to be like Soderbergh and George Clooney for a while, too?
Yes.
For The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
I haven't seen Armie Hammer in a while.
He's been busy. He's been
saving the Wild West.
No, he's been, yeah, well, he's been writing scripts for Lone Ranger, too. He's been really trying to set
up. He's been laying low long enough for people to forget the Lone Ranger.
His twin's been around, though. He's been doing things.
Wait, so he has to be in companies. That with Henry Cavill after he was supposed to be Superman? Or was that my thing of something else?
No, Armie Hammer was supposed to be Superman in the...
Yeah,
Batman. Was he Batman?
Oh, no, he was supposed to be Batman.
Who was supposed to be Superman? Oh, that's
shoot.
Not Brandon Routh.
I remember The Flash was going to be Adam Brody.
Yeah.
OC. And they were going to do the Black Green Lantern with... Wasn't it going to be Common?
I believe so, yes. I think that's...
I can't remember who Superman was going to be.
Oh, well, we'll get there. Okay. We also have Straight Outta Compton, which looks better and better to me every time I see things about it. Now it's... I didn't know it was directed by F. Gary Gray, which makes perfect sense in my eyes, but there you go. Of course,
is Ice Cube's son in that? Or
yeah, Ice Cube's son plays young Ice Cube in that movie.
Doughboy plays so, Ice Cube?
Yeah. It's great.
And something called Me Before You, which is some drama. Sinister 2.
They're going to have a Sinister 2?
Of course they are. Made money. It's a horror movie. Horror movies need to make like $1 and then get a sequel.
Well, I was like, how does this story progress? She did away with everybody.
There's more sinister stuff happening, Abe. What are you talking about? There was a ring to.
Straight to video, right?
I wish I called Sinister.
Sinister.
Yeah, that's it for August. Okay, so that's that.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's summer next year.
What's interesting is that there seems to be less big movies in this summer, but the big ones are bigger.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I mean, I'm not, because I'm discounting, like, Fast and Furious 2 is the beginning of April. Or Fast and Furious 2. Fast and Furious 7 is the beginning of April.
That's going to be a tragedy to watch. I don't know if I could take it.
Yeah.
So, like, what's the big thing in summer of 2015 besides Avengers? Like, what else? Ant-Man, I guess, by default, because it's a Marvel movie?
Oh, maybe it's summer 2016.
2016's the one that's, like, loaded now, yeah.
Maybe. Or even just pushed back.
Or just the rest of the of rest 2015. Of 2015, with Star Wars in December now and things like that.
Mockingjay 2.
Yeah, that.
Oh, jeez.
All right, let's move on. Let's wrap the show up, because I know some of us need to get going here.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. So let's do a quick Out Now Presents What's On Now. These are movies that are coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this week, and we have a number of things here. We have Captain America, The Winter Soldier. I think a few people have heard of that. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the complete season 1.
Nice.
Homeland season 3.
Meh.
Brick Mansions. That's the American remake of District B-13, a movie that Abe still needs to see.
Worth renting?
I haven't seen Brick Mansions. I have no idea.
District B-13's on Netflix.
District B-13, yeah, that's streaming.
Brick Mansions is like in the dictionary next to a Redbox movie. Like, it's a perfect Redbox movie.
Young Frankenstein, the 40th Anniversary Edition, comes out this week on Blu-ray. Young Frankenstein, along with Ghostbusters, are movies that I just put on, like, that imaginary top 10 list of comedies I never put together. It's easily my favorite Mel Brooks film, and it's just hilarious. Let's see, a lot of Godzilla movies come out this week in anticipation for the new Godzilla coming out next week on Blu-ray. A lot of old Godzilla movies. And then in a new anniversary edition of Prom Night, the original Prom Night with Jamie Lee Curtis, comes out this week.
Not the one with Idris Elba?
No, we don't talk about that. we don't talk about his movie coming out next week either, by the way.
I'm definitely going to see that movie.
But yeah, so speaking of next week, we have no idea what we're going to talk about next week.
But we'll have something.
It's either that or Dolphin Tale 2.
If we could get Harry Connick Jr. on the show, it would be Dolphin Tale 2.
I'll see what I can do, Abe. That seems like a possible one.
One other interesting movie coming out on Blu-ray this week, finally, is Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events.
You a fan of that one?
I was. I wish they had done more, because I like the book.
I wish they had done more, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see where they could progress with that.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's going to happen now, 10 years later, or whatever it is.
So with all that said, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. You can find more of my work on my personal blog, thecodeofzeke.com. You can find all my written movie reviews, as well as at whysoblue.com for all my Blu-ray reviews. You can also find me at Twitter, at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
You can find more fun stuff at walrusmoose.blogspot.com and twitter.com/walrusmoose, hashtag Last of Us Remastered.
Jose?
Follow me on Twitter, at Jose Cordova. That's my name. I'm occasionally at theyoungfolks.com. And I've been experimenting trying to get into this podcast game. So maybe something coming in the future.
Ooh, good news. Mark Hoban.
You can find more of my work on my personal blog, fastfilmreviews.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hoban.
You can find Alan Aguilera crying himself to sleep because he lost so badly this year. You can find Jordan Grout digging out of dumpsters trying to find the trophy that he'll never collect. And our winner for the summer gamble, Maxwell. Where can people find more of your work?
People can follow me on Twitter at Cinemaxwell or visit Cinemaxwell.com, where I am currently hosting a competition or a contest. You have until this upcoming Friday, or rather Thursday at midnight, to send me a 500-word or less essay on a film that had an emotional impact on you. I will pick the top five and post them on my blog, and the number one winner gets a $100 Amazon gift card. So be sure to enter that.
Wow.
Very cool.
I'm going to go and post like three entries.
Yeah. You can go to my site and all the rules are there, and you can email me your entries.
Yeah, just, Abe, just pick one of those many articles on your website.
I will. The Hobbit.
Oh, that up-to-date review you have?
Yeah. I love the photo I have on that post.
All right, so you can find all the other episodes of Out Now with Aaron and Abe on iTunes and at Stitcher, as well as at hhwlod.com. That is the podcast network that hosts our show, along with other shows, including the Walking Dead TV podcast, which will be coming back very soon, as well as the Ichapod Crane cast with myself and, of course, our winner, Maxwell, and friend of the show, Brandon Peters, host, because Sleepy Hollow, the show that show covers, comes back like 3 weeks, for 4 weeks from now.
I'm excited. Soon. My head is like half detached right now.
Nice.
You can find our episodes over at outnow.podomatic.com as well as soundcloud.com/outnowpodcast.
Feel free to email us outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on the summer movies in general.
You can also interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast or tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
And lastly, outnowpodcast.tumblr.com. Feel free to follow us there. And you can use our voicemail line, 972-798-3830. You can be happy to leave us some kind of voicemail expressing your thoughts on the summer in vocal form. So with all that said, Jose, Maxwell, Mark, thank you all for joining us for this podcast episode.
It is always a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
Always a good time.
Oh. And again, continued congratulations to Maxwell for winning the box office wager this year. It's good stuff.
Thank you.
And look forward to next year's as well. Maybe Mark will be able to reclaim that title. We'll see.
Yes. Hopefully.
But yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode of Out Now with Aaron and Abe. So until next time, so long.
And goodbye. Goodbye.
The Rock is CJ.
That's after you go to the gym and ride your bike for 3 hours and do everything, and then that's CCJ.